we get to make wines that are going to be different every single year because of what Mother Nature throws at us.
You're really in touch with the seasons.
This is farming. Where this all starts is agriculture.
Wine is both a representation of its place and a representation of its time.
We can't control Mother Nature.
To make really fine wine, you need to do it in the old traditional way.
It was a lot funkier back then than it is now.
We're in a creative kind of business, and so this is what makes it fun.
I really love what I do. I'm happiest, I think, when I'm in the vineyard.
We say, so drink the wine. That's kind of our motto here at Life Between the Vines. One of the cool things about wine, besides drinking it, is the people you drink it with. And the stories you hear and tell with wine all come together to make every bottle unique. Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle and welcome to podcast number 135. This week we feature Three Sticks winemaker Don Van Staveren.
Don Van Staveren is a winemaker and a surfer. Not a big surprise there, as it seems we've met many a winemaker slash surfer in our travels. Don even keeps a couple of boards in the cellar, just in case. Truth be told, Don is a man of many and varied interests, but today we talk about Three Sticks Wine and his passion for Pinot. To learn more, visit threestickswine.com. I'm here with Don Van Staveren. Don is the winemaker for Three Sticks. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm great. Thanks for being here today. Sorry to pull you away from work, where the hustle and bustle seems to have died off today post-harvest.
Yeah, today was the first day we were able to give most of the crew the day off, so we took advantage of it. And it's a gorgeous day outside, so I'm sure they're all happy.
And you are here with me.
I'm happy too.
You drew the short stick. Sorry, it's a little joke. I apologize. I won't say that again. So, Don, we're here in Sonoma, actually right by the airport, pretty much, almost on top of it here. And you're running the actual winemaking operation out of a warehouse, and you've been doing it here, you say, about 10 years?
Yeah, since 2000. We moved in July of 2005. This building was completed.
And the whole idea is, as you said, not to have an actual bricks and mortars winery, but to have just simply the place to do what you need to do.
Yeah, and spend our money on grapes and on the right kind of equipment.
That's a great idea. Spending it on the grapes especially. Yeah. Equipment, you know. No, I'm just kidding. So we started talking a few minutes ago about where you came from, where your interest in wine began. So let's go ahead and start right there.
All right. I'm first generation from an immigrant family from Holland. My family was in the dairy business. And about the time I was in high school, I discovered that the cows were cutting into my social life. And I wanted to, I still, you know, farming's in my blood and I still wanted to do farming. And I went to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, started out majoring in animal husbandry, but that was too close to dairy husbandry. And I went into agronomy or crop science and kind of focused on pomology, on the fruit aspect of it. And I thought I would be, I'd grow up and manage an orchard, you know, somewhere. And Cal Poly had just been starting a viticulture sub-department. And I was one of the first students in that department and really enjoyed it. And then when I graduated from Cal Poly, I was recruited by Mr. Gallo, worked for Mr. Gallo a short period of time.
I've heard that name before. I just don't know where.
Yeah. A small little place in the Central Valley.
That's where it was, yeah.
And that kind of didn't really work out. I was somewhat of a unrepentant hippie at that point, so I didn't fit the regular, you know, mold. So I drove truck for about a year. A buddy of mine and I leased some trucks, and we drove truck for about a year. Then through a friend of a friend of a friend, I heard that Frank Bartholomew, who at that time owned Buena Vista Vineyards, was looking for a vineyard manager. And I came up to see him, and he hired me. And so I did that for about 5 years. And there was really no advancement at that point in that situation. And I was kind of looking for something a little more. So in 1976, I took a job as a harvest temp at Chateau St. Jean, working for a kid that had worked for me at Buena Vista Vineyards. He was the cellar master at St. Jean, and that was the second harvest at St. Jean. And Dick Arrowood and I got along well. He liked how I worked. I learned winemaking on the job from Dick, and in 1985, I became winemaker at St. Jean, and I left St. Jean in at the end of 96, and just had worked my way up through the ranks and became winemaker and then vice president, winemaster, and always, you know, in production. Then after that, I went to Artesa in Carneros in Napa, and I was responsible for converting what was then Côte d'Or New Napa sparkling wine into Artesa still wine. While I was at St. Jean, Texas Pacific Group purchased St. Jean and combined it with the Behringer Wine Estates that they had purchased. One of the co-founders of Texas Pacific Group is Bill Price. And Bill and I first met, we tasted wines together. He liked the kind of wines that I was making. So this was in 1996. Then in 2004, while I was still at Artesa, he came to me and asked me if I wanted to be his winemaker at Three Sticks. So it was about a 7-year job interview to get to Three Sticks. And you know, the rest is basically history. I've been in the wine business since 1970. You know, love Sonoma Valley here. The business has been fabulous for me. I met my wife at Chateau St. Jean when I was cellar master and she was a lab tech. We worked together for about 17 years. For the only time in my life, I was her boss for about 15 years.
And then it changed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was the boss at the winery, but, you know, at home, once we left the property, the roles reversed, which...
That's supposedly how it was meant to be.
Yeah, it's how it was meant to be, yeah. So kind of, Margo and I raised our kids in the wine business, raised our kids in the wineries. They've had tricycles and bikes and skateboards parked at the wineries so they could, you know, be around us when we were working weekends during harvest. It's been just a real, you know, a real blessing. Very serendipitous. Never in my wildest dreams had I thought I'd be a winemaker, but one of those things that happens, and has been just absolutely fabulous.
That's a great quote. I mean, it's not an unusual quote, but I just like how you say it because it's really sincere. Of course, I also had this vision of a T-shirt that said, "The cows are messing up my social life," which you should have done.
Yeah.
You know, you can make some money off of that.
Yeah.
But seriously, Jesus, almost like, where haven't you worked and what haven't you done? You've had a really fulfilling and lengthy career in the business.
Yes. Yeah, from the ground up. Yeah. I mean, actually, from the real ground, the dirt. Up.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Well, we all come from dust, so there you go.
Yeah.
So, in the process of this particular gig, this is very small production, which has got to make you real happy considering what you've done in the past.
Yes, but I think as humans, we tend to make our life or look for ways. Maybe it's just me that make my life more difficult. Now, when I was working at larger facilities, the only thing that was different was the size of the tank. But we, you know, I made a lot of different wines at St. Jean and then at Artesa also. Now here at Three Sticks, I only make about 3,500 cases a year, but I make 12 different wines. So the amount changes, but the scale stays the same. But working here, the real blessing is that it's a hands-on, and I'm a hands-on winemaker. I like the tactile aspect of making wine, you know, feeling the grapes, eating the grapes, putting your hand in the must, you know, being able to touch stuff. And the wine business has the coolest toys, too, you know.
That's true. Yeah. So as far as the vineyards goes, are you leasing then, or is there a property that's owned by Three Sticks?
Well, maybe to back up a little bit, Three Sticks is owned by Bill Price. It's his real name, or his full name, is William Stanley Price III. Growing up in Hawaii, His surfing buddies gave him a bad time about having a Roman numeral after his name, so they nicknamed him Billy Three Sticks. And when he started the winery, he chose that as a name.
Which explained the boards on the wall as I came up the stairs.
Well, yeah, those are mine.
Oh, those are yours? You look like a surfer, dude. I was kind of wondering that.
Yeah, no, those are mine. I've got a couple of them lent out and one on the top of my car right now, and the one's hanging on the wall. My wife couldn't get her car in the garage anymore, so she made me move them out.
And so obviously you still are out there surfing then?
Yes, yep.
Where do you go primarily?
Usually Sonoma County or Marin County, anywhere from San Francisco north. The easiest place for me to get to is Bolinas. And then anywhere from Bolinas to Salmon Creek, but I'll go anywhere I can go.
I was at Christie Field once some time ago, just past there, almost underneath the Golden Gate, and saw a bunch of guys coming in wetsuits. And all due respect, they weren't exactly young guys coming in on boards, and they were coming in on rocks. They weren't coming in on sand.
Yeah, that's Fort Point.
That's a tough area.
That's a tough area. Yeah.
And then you got, of course, the seals jumping around behind them, and. Yeah. You don't want to make any mistakes surfing there, do you?
No, no. And we kind of look at seals as shark bait. So,
I guess that keeps them out of your issues. It's a little deal you guys have there.
right, yeah.
Nice. So, well, you've answered my question on how Three Sticks came along, which I think is very cool. And I like the label. It's neat. So, you're making all these different kind of wines. Focus is Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, that's what I see here in the room, and you'd mentioned a Cabernet.
Yes.
What else are you making on top of that?
Well, we make a little bit of Pinot Blanc. We make some a Rhone blend we call Castañeda. We've just recently restored a 130-year-old adobe building just off the plaza in Sonoma. And that's our admin offices and a... for lack of a better word, a tasting salon. We've just for a couple of months now been able to do tastings by appointment only, and we're limited by the city of Sonoma how many we can do and how large the groups can be. This was known as the Castañeda Vallejo Adobe. So on some property that is part of Durrell, we have a small block planted to four different selections of Syrah, Grenache Noir, Marsan, Viognier, and Grenache Blanc. So we do a field blend of that, and that's brand new. We're 2012 was our first vintage, and we've just released that now. And then I said we do the Pinot Blanc. Going back to your earlier question was, you know, purchase fruit or leased fruit. Bill Price owns Durrell Vineyards, which is about 135 acres, predominantly Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. About 2 years ago, he purchased Gap's Crown Vineyard in the Petaluma Gap, which is Chardonnay, predominantly Pinot Noir and a tiny little bit of Chardonnay. And then he's developing three other vineyards, two of them in the Russian River Valley and one in Bennett Valley. So we're going to stay, you know, we're going to stay really small, but we're going to do, you know, real high end. Eventually, when we grow up, we probably will be somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,000 cases. We're in no hurry or timeline to get to that point. We want very organic, you know, very measured growth. Since Pinot Noir is our focus and we're following the kind of the Burgundian mold, we make seven different Pinot Noirs. We make an Estate Durrell. We make a Gap's Crown. We make a Pinot Noir called the James after Bill's son from the Santa Rita Hills. We make a Pinot Noir from Santa Lucia Highlands. We make two Pinot Noirs from Russian River. I think that adds up.
So this is a California well-represented label.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Again, and most of our lots are, you know, 200 to 300 cases. Yeah. Being very small winery, we sell our wines, most of them direct to consumer. We have you know, kind of a mailing list and an allocation list, and we notify people who sign up when we're going to have a release. And if they choose to order the wines, that's fine. If not, if they want to pass, you know, that's we'd rather they order, but that's fine too.
Are you in some restaurants at all? Or?
Yeah, there's a few restaurants. There's like two restaurants locally in Sonoma. We're, you know, maybe a half a dozen in the city. Florida is a good market. We're represented a couple places in New York City. LA has a couple. We've just started to move into the Pacific Northwest in Seattle.
Is that strictly restaurants or is it regular distribution?
At this point, it's strictly restaurants. And we are in a few, in the cities that I've mentioned, we are in a few wine shops. But again, you know, kind of high-end, specific,
sure. Yeah,
specific wine shops.
So being a winemaker, especially with your experience, varied experience, what do you like to drink, Don?
Well, pretty much anything. Just kind of whatever my mood is. I think of every variety, I probably drink more Chardonnay, closely followed by Pinot Noir. I like to try different wines. My wife reminded me, you know, again, maybe this is getting back to the unrepentant hippie part of me, but when we go out to eat, I'll look at the wine list first, find an interesting wine, and then I'll go look at the menu and pick something to eat to go with that. I mean, even, you know, like sparkling wines and rosés, I like sparkling wines too. That my stepmother-in-law was a Southern Baptist from Texas, and one of the first things she taught me was to always have a bottle of sparkling wine or champagne in the refrigerator.
A Southern Baptist.
A Southern Baptist, yeah.
That's a little out of character.
Yeah, a little out of character, but she was pretty special. So
good for her.
So there's always a bottle of sparkling wine in our refrigerator. Most always a white of some kind. I really like Grenaches and white Rhone blends. Some of the Sardinian wines I really like. The Sardinian whites. Just kind of almost anything.
Do you think you'll ever make a sparkling, or have you made sparkling?
I've made sparkling at twice. I've made sparkling at St. Jean for a few years, and then when I was at Artesa for probably the five of the years that I was there, I made sparkling wine. And I'd like to make sparkling wine again, but a late disgorged barrel ferment, mm-hmm. partial ML, Pinot Noir, sparkling wine.
Could you be a little more specific?
Yeah.
I love the smile on your face when you're talking about that, because to me, I think sparkling wine is taking off more now, and I think it's even getting more accepted by men. I think at one time men sort of turned their nose up to it, but really it's just a great thing to drink before a meal. It's great, great general, even at a get-together, to start with something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no.
That's just my two cents in.
Yeah, it turns Tuesday into a special day.
It really does, because everybody's always seen it as being celebratory. And yet it really is, again, it's just another product of the grape. Your wife, is she still in the business?
Yes, my wife is still the head winemaker at St. Jean.
Really?
She's been there quite a long time.
She's going to appreciate that answer. Yeah.
Doing well. So St. Jean is still in the family.
Nice. That's very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, Don, it's really been a pleasure talking to you, and I'm so proud I spotted you as a surfer dude.
Yeah.
Don, for our listeners who'd like to learn more about Three Sticks online, how would they do that?
Go to our website, www.threestickswines.com. All one word, Three Sticks, Threestickswines, plural.
Thanks for listening, and remember to like us on Facebook. Also, check out our YouTube channel.
Life Between the Vines is produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Theme song and original music written and recorded by Tim Dondarevo. Our host is Kay Paskoff. Web design by Jenny Holland. Our intern is Lawton Hall. Our web geek is Dan Gieschen. Photos by Jeanette Herniak. Copyright 2015.